The Redistricting Advisory Committee, Tuesday, November 29th, 2022. Agenda, call to order. Call.
Maribel Alvarez.
Present.
Patrick Robles. Jennifer Garland. Ed Hendel.
Present.
John Aitken.
Present.
Bobby Jaramillo.
Present.
Mark Crum.
Present.
Honorable Chair, with 7 members present, a quorum of the Redistricting Advisory Committee is established.
Right. Item number 3, public hearing on redistricting proposals. Now, if you would, I'm going to read what I've read at prior meetings. Just sorry if you've heard me before, but here goes. The Redistricting Advisory Committee is continuing to review and consider options to adjust ward boundaries and equalize ward population. The one person, one vote requirement of the United States Constitution requires that members of an elected body be drawn from districts, wards of substantially equal population. A city redistricting plan's constitutional validity under one person, one vote is measured by its MPD, or maximum population deviation. The goal is that an MPD should be less than 10%, which the Supreme Court considers a minimal deviation and presumptively constitutionally valid. The current MPD for the city is 13.4%. This is due to a change in ward population in the city. The committee first reviewed 2020 census data and determined that the redistricting is necessary. In addition to federal requirements, any redistricting plans must comply with the city charter, which states, quote, no risk redistricting plan shall be drawn for the purpose of favoring or disfavoring any political party or person, nor for the purpose of diluting the voting strength of any racial or ethnic minority group to the extent reasonably practicable, or shall be equal in population and shall be contiguous and compact. Additional policy objectives include, one, maintain established and recognizable ward boundaries with a minimum of disruption, sustain the compactness of the awards as they previously exist, maintain ethnic balance so as not to dilute the Hispanic vote, 4, give preference to options that will advance rough proportionality of minority voting power, give preference to options that reduce dilution that may otherwise exist from prior packing or fragmenting, and 6, reduce voter confusion by realignment of precincts having populations represented by more than one ward. The committee held a public hearing on November 3rd and voted to continue the hearing to allow additional community input tonight, and again on November 29th. At our meeting last week, the committee voted to put forward 2 proposals for public consideration. They are marked as Proposal 2A and 2C. The MPD for both proposals is below the 10% the Supreme Court considered consider presumptively valid. With that introduction, ladies and gentlemen, this is the time and place for a public hearing for redistricting proposals. Speakers are limited to 5-minute presentation. The public hearing is scheduled to last approximately 1 hour. Speakers must observe rules of decorum. Speakers should speak in an orderly manner and shall not make any remarks that are profane, obscene, or defamatory, and shall not make any remarks or gestures that are threatening or otherwise impede the conduct of the meeting. Please come forward when I call your name and make your presentation. State your name, whether or not you live in the city, whom you are representing, and whether or not you are a paid speaker. Scott Egan.
Good evening. I appreciate this opportunity to speak with you. My name is Scott Daniel Egan. I've lived in Tucson for almost 50 of my 70 years on Mother Earth, the bulk of that time in Patio Hollywood. I understand what I'm supposed to declare, and I definitely do declare that I am not a paid speaker. However, I am always open to offers. I would certainly prefer to be doing something else with my time right now, but I've made the effort to come out here to make sure that you do not attempt again to politically divide our barrios against our community of interests at the behest of your political masters. While I heartily support the residents in Precinct 47 and Precinct 244, along with the residents of West University and Feldman's, all of whom definitely do not want to be moved into Ward 1, and believe me, I am totally sympathetic with that. I understand why they are resistant to go into Ward 1, but my main purpose here is to encourage you to reject any attempt to redistrict out Precinct 37 from the west side. The question arises, why did some of you, three that I counted at the last meeting, why did three of you try to rip El Rio neighborhood Barrio Sulaco out of the west side when only 2 years ago we rose up in opposition to the same movida tried then? Two commission members here from Ward 3 and Ward 5 clearly and unequivocally warned the rest of you that it would be opening up a hornet's nest by trying to remove Precinct 37, but you tried to do it anyway. And were only deterred by us again organizing an effective community protest. I am here today to make sure you do not reverse yourselves at the last minute again. But the question remains, why did the three of you attempt to disenfranchise the unity of our barrios, not only after you were very clearly warned against attempting such a dumb move by your fellow commissioners, but also by the fact that taking out any precinct from the most underpopulated West Side Ward 1 had absolutely no logical justification, because this commission clearly needs to expand the West Side Ward 1, not reduce it. It is the East Side Ward 4, not West Side Ward 1, that needs to give up some precincts. But I watched all of your hearings, and any Ward 4 changes were hardly discussed because a few of you were so obviously obsessed and directed, I believe, to cut out El Rio from Ward 1 that nothing else seemed to matter. Anyone can watch these recorded meetings to see this reality. But the question remains, why? Why did you try to do this? Perhaps the reason for this seemingly nonsensical maneuver can be found in the definition of a word most famously used by Lee Harvey Oswald when asked by a reporter if he had really assassinated President Kennedy. He replied, "No, they are taking me in because of the fact that I lived in the Soviet Union. I am just a patsy." Looking at the term patsy indicates that It's an original American slang describing a gullible or weak-minded person. It is also explained that, quote, a patsy is often someone with good intentions, but who is easily deceived, taken advantage of, and manipulated. A patsy could be called a dupe, a sucker, a fool, a sap, or a pushover, while still telling themselves that they are only traveling on a paved road of good intentions. One source claims that the term patsy originated when Irish immigrants came to the United States during the English-imposed famine in the 19th century, when loads of poor Irish people entering the working class were being easily duped by American crooks and fraudsters, kind of like the coyotes we see on the border today. The Oxford English Dictionary links patsy with the ethnically disparaging anti-Irish slur paddy to describe the stereotype of, and I quote, a bog trotter just off the boat. This definition is, of course, from the Oxford English Dictionary, and the English have always liked to use the term patsy. Interestingly, the American Heritage Dictionary states that patsy actually derives from the Italian word paccio, meaning fool. But whether the origins are Brit or Italian, today the term patsy is no longer considered a derogatory slur directed only against Irish immigrants. To quote from the Urban Dictionary, quote, a patsy is now usually used in modern society by American dads to scold their sons. Calling someone a patsy is...
Would you try to conclude your comment?
Yes, I'm almost done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Calling someone a patsy today is, and this is quoted from the dictionary, not my words, calling someone a patsy is almost like saying, don't be a gullible pussy, quote unquote. Let me just finally conclude and say I hope none of us have to come back here again in 2 years to fight the same damn battle, just with different well-intentioned patsies who may try to excuse themselves, as some of you have done, by saying, hey, I wasn't here 2 years ago. Well, if this comes back again, maybe some of you aren't going to be here in 2 years or whenever this comes back. Maybe some of the mayor and council aren't going to be here, God willing, when this comes back. But I'll tell you who will be here. We will be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Miguel Ortega.
Good evening. My name is Miguel Ortega. I am representing myself, but also representing the Ironwood Ridge Neighborhood Association, which is just west of El Rio, just west of the Joaquín Murieta Park there, and south of Grant. And I'm not paid for my words here tonight. So tonight I'd like just to kind of focus on the importance of making sure that the record is clear for mayor and council, because really at the end of the day, this is what our biggest role is. This is the most important task at hand, is making sure that the mayor and council is guided in a direction to take action, take no action, accept your recommendation or not. Let's just be very clear of where we are on the west side and actually Tucson wide. We had an incredible turnout of 50 people right at the beginning of the holidays, once again from the west side, adamantly opposed to your proposal of moving Precinct 37 into Ward 1. We had the Barrio Neighborhood Coalition represented. We had Barrio Hollywood, Patrick McKenna, representing that neighborhood. Myself, representing Ironwood Ridge Neighborhood Association. We had supporters from BRICTA, El Rio and Sovaco area, the area in question. We've had, to date, over 300 online signatures opposing this move. And let's be very clear that 2 years ago, there was also a major organizing against this move when it was proposed. We walked door to door then and counted on hundreds of doors, as we did this last time. So it's very clear where we stand, right? But what I think is important to understand as well is that we're all adults here. We understand how politics work. I used to work for the city of Tucson to Ward 3, and what we do is we try to make it easy for our council members to make a tough decision, a controversial decision. So it's obvious that the conversation that is that folks are trying to propose is to create a third ward, or, you know, a minority-majority representation. And so some of the theories have been, it's like, well, let's get the West Side people all angry and then get them talking. And then we'll say no to that. We'll vote, you know, unanimously against that. But then we'll come to mayor and council and say, man, the community is fired up. They really want to do something. Come on, man. We're not that dumb. We recognize that there's also conversations with Chispa and Lucha. They do great work in Phoenix. They really do. They do some work here in Tucson as well, but they don't represent our barrios. Okay. And so for the record, the people here outnumber staff. Okay. So when you do talk to your mayor and council, make sure that you are clear with what you tell them. There was never anyone jumping up and down and saying, we want some kind of dramatic redistricting. We really have to have more brown people on the council. What people actually are fired up about is affordable housing, addressing the homelessness issue, better jobs, living wages, union jobs. That's what the people of the barrio want. That's what brown and white working people, everybody wants. But for anyone here to attempt to try to manufacture some kind of weird narrative of people getting fired up and we need some kind of majority, minority, third ward, that is not the case. If that were the case, and if Chispa and Lucha were doing their job, and if they were the spokespeople of the Raza on the West Side, they would be here during the redistricting committee meeting. They're not here. They may come later on. They got lots of money, and they may do whatever the mayor and Ward 1 council wants them to do, but that would be a manufactured narrative. We're just not that dumb. So when you consider that recommendation, we're not going to feel like if you vote against this like big, huge dream in the sky, you know, about changing everything up. If you vote against that, we're not going to think that you're like, oh my gosh, you're against, you know, more brown people on the council. What brown people want is what everybody wants. Okay. That's what we want. Mayor and council needs to do their job now. We need to address pressing issues now. Gentrification can be easily addressed by the people that are sitting here now. And might I remind you that we fought against the mayor, okay, a Latina, who tried to gentrify our barrios when she tried to sell off El Rio to Grand Canyon University, okay? So we want good people. I don't care what they are. Just be good, progressive people doing good by the working class, right? So again, let's be clear on the record. Let's make sure that when you talk to your council members that you're representing about the people who really did attend, who really did organize, who really did knock on the doors, make sure that's on the record. And make sure that you are honest and you say there was no huge amount of people demanding that we have some huge reorganizing of the districts. Okay? So thank you. And again, you know, hands off of 37 and make sure that mayor and council focus on the things that matter, not some political movidas to get more political power. Thanks.
Thank you. Catherine Pleasel.
Good evening. So I just want to say I was a little rough on you last week, and I apologize for that, but I was fired up. But today I'm real calm, and I've looked over the maps. I really don't care if Ward 1 has anything more because they can't handle what they have now. That's where I stand, and I'm pretty sure you know that. I've been in Enchanted Hills Neighborhood Association for over 20 years. I've been a Ward 1 representative for over 20 years. And I would like, if you have to choose a proposal, I would wish you would choose 2C. That's the least invasive for Ward 1. It would help us. It's not going to hurt us that much. And I would be willing to negotiate with that. But I would also like for you to tell your mayor and your council that, A, this rushed meeting sequence kind of things don't fly anymore. We want public meetings. We want people to be able to talk. We want enough reference time to be able to check out references, to go knock on doors, to make sure we find out exactly who our neighbors are. We don't want some preempted census mojo, okay? We just want a good life. We want to take care of our community. We respect our elders. We protect our veterans, our children, and that's what life is about. And I would like to say this. The purpose of life is not to be happy. It is to be useful, to be honorable, to be compassionate, and to have it make some difference that you have lived and lived well. And kudos to you for working on a board. I know it's rough.
Thank you. Patrick McKenna.
Hello, good evening again. I just wanted to thank the committee for your work. I really do appreciate taking the time that you've taken here to consider this important question. Sorry, Patrick McKenna, seventh generation Tucsonan from Barrio Hollywood, and I'm not a paid speaker. But I am officially representing the Barrio. I did feel that this committee was really lacking some context, and you deserve to know some things that maybe you don't know. Why Precinct 37 is such a hot spot for us? Why it's such a tinderbox? But there's a history that goes back. That is where the Barrio Empowerment Movement started in Tucson. So not only is there a historical significance there, but something happened very recently where the Westside Barrios had to get together and sue the city of Tucson. Now, Cecilia Cruz, who was our main plaintiff that represented the Westside Barrios, was here at your last redistricting meeting. And she was the plaintiff that represented the Westside Barrios because we had questions about what the city of Tucson was doing with El Rio Golf Course. What y'all might not know is that we were told by Mayor Rothschild and Council Member Romero at one of our neighborhood meetings that we would, if anything was going on in our neighborhood, in our neck of the woods, we would be the first to know about it. However, that was not the case when it came to El Rio Golf Course and this proposal that the city of Tucson and the real estate department have been working in secret for about a year without even notifying us, telling us anything at all. They had worked out this deal with Grand Canyon University to turn over those 99 acres of the El Rio Golf Course. Now, the city stonewalled us. They did not want to give us public records that referred to anything to do with the proposed lease agreement with Grand Canyon University. And when we actually sued and found out why, now that was very interesting because the city actually had the 99 acres of El Rio Golf Course appraised as a dirt lot, okay? As a dirt lot. So that was one of the corrupt items that we found. Basically, they were trying to sell that land off for pennies on the dollar, and we prevented a very bad deal from happening, a very bad deal for the taxpayers by actually having to sue the city. Now, if you go back and you look at why the arguments that the city of Tucson made actually in Superior Court here, they actually made the argument that they couldn't release the records to us because Arizona has a very strong public records clause, okay? But they actually made the argument that they could not release the records to us because it would be so embarrassing to the city that they would no longer be able to actually negotiate with companies and make deals, that it would be so damaging to them that they wouldn't be able to move forward with economic development deals if they revealed what they had proposed to give to Grand Canyon University. And when we sued and we got those records and found out exactly why they were trying to hide. Okay, so there's actually a lot there. And please don't believe this narrative that's being spun that the West Side people just are lacking education. We don't understand the task that your committee is being given, okay? We do very well understand the test that you're being given, but let's be realistic, okay? Let's, like I said to you in the last meeting, let's go ahead and take away Precinct 37. Well, and what do you got? Does that make it all of a sudden possible to elect the minority in Ward 3? Come on. Don't fall for it. Please continue on the path that you are, considering the input of the public. But you know what? We're not the enemy here, okay? We're not the enemy. We're trying to give you a little bit more insight, okay? You may be putting in all this time for nothing if you don't really consider these options carefully and really consider that there's a whole lot of movidas that have gone on before. So it's not like we're here we're crazy reactionary people that are just angry and we want to come in and yell and take our frustrations out at you. No, it actually goes a lot deeper than just this precinct being moved, okay? There's a lot to it. So, you know, just think about that and think about how we had to sue the city of Tucson just to get public records about a public facility right across the street from our neighborhood. Okay, and that is why you get such a strong reaction. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. All right, that concludes the small pile of speakers that I have. Is there anyone else wishing to speak?
Evening, commissioners. My name is John Burr. I live in the city. I'm not paid. I soon to be the vice president of Armory Park Neighborhood Association again. I want to thank you for you all for your hard work. I want to thank you again for not stripping Armory Park out of Ward 6, which we had requested a couple of meetings ago. But I also listened to a lot of our colleagues in the boroughs, and Pedro said, we don't want to go to Ward 1, we want to go to Ward 5. So later in the meeting, after the public hearing concludes, Precinct 45 is back on the docket again, and you're toying with it, and you do exactly what you were requested not to do earlier in the evening. I'm not sure that there's any easy panacea here. Item 2A splits, you know, Barrio Santa Rita y Ochoa in half. This new proposal going up Stone for splitting Precinct 45 now puts Barrio Viejo or Barrio Historico or El Membrio or however you want to call that storied neighborhood in Ward 1, but it also splits the historic districts yet again, and it puts most of downtown in Ward 1 that does not have staff prepared for it and takes Ward 6 voice out of the downtown redevelopment equation. And to be fair, Steve Kay has been instrumental in making sure that community agreement benefits and all sorts of other things to reduce gentrification and have a public process be in place has been really very strong, and the Ward 1 office is not. I'm here tonight because I want to see what you all do after we are no longer allowed to speak, so that we know how to direct our comments to mayor and council. One thing I do want to caution, you are splitting up neighborhoods. Armory Park has been split between Ward 6 and Ward 5 for a number of years. 2A splits Barrio Santa Rita y Ochoa. I stand with the barrio wanting to be represented by the people that they currently are represented by. And that is not what is actually on these districts. The ward offices work things out with neighborhoods, and we are generally in Armory Park entirely represented by 6, even though we have split representation. Barrio Viejo works with Ward 5. Barrio Historico in the historic district, part of that neighborhood, works with Ward 6. What goes on the ground is very different than maps. And you really need to consider the context, the people involved, the personalities, and how they integrate and represent and talk to their communities. So, again, I'm curious to see what you do after this hearing is closed. I look forward to seeing what mayor and council do with it later in December. I do want to thank you all for your service, but I do also want to say neither 2A or 2C is an ideal map. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? All right, hearing none. I'd like to continue on with our agenda. Discussion of redistricting proposals. I'm referring now to the most recent press release. It says, at its second public hearing held on Thursday, November 17th, the committee voted to create a new map for consideration called Proposal 2C and remove Proposal 2B from consideration. The committee is now considering Proposals 2A and 2C. With that, I'll open the meeting up for comments, considerations by this committee.
Mr. Chair, before we do that, we have a housekeeping item to take care of, and that is to close the public hearing. If you would entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
I'd like to move for the closing of the public hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you, Ms. Clerk.
Chairman Crum?
Yes, sir.
I would like to thank folks for coming out this evening. Public input is very important for the work that we do. I'd like to remind folks that our goal here is to redraw the districts here in the city. Of course, we're concerned about other of the myriad of issues facing the city, but that's the goal of this committee here. And when I chose to accept the appointment to sit on this commission, which I'm absolutely grateful for, I was very mindful of the fact that I'm 21 years old, I'm a lifelong Tucsonan, I'm a third generation Tucsonan graduate of Sunnyside High School. And this is all guiding my perspective because I know I'm going to be here for the next 40, 50, 60 years. And I want to see the city grow. And I believe that this city grows when we begin to challenge the status quo. The same old neighborhoods have been moving back and forth. Now, I want to be clear, Ward 1 has no intention of putting Precinct 37 back on the table. But I do want us to continue to challenge the very notion of how redistricting has taken place so far. And at the last meeting, Proposal 2C was put on the table with the idea in mind that this would have the least amount of public outcry. Here we are this evening dealing with public outcry against a proposal. And this was the very reason that guided our perspective in taking away Proposal 2B, which I'm proud to have seconded. But if we're going to abide by the policy objective number one that calls for minimum disruption, we're not going to make any sort of substantial progress when it comes to redistricting the city. Now, I want to remind folks that ward boundaries are arbitrary. I know for a fact that Ward 5 has helped the Sugar Hill neighborhood, which is in Ward 3. This is something that takes place all the time within wards. They go beyond the ward boundaries to help other neighborhoods. I read a comment tonight that talks about how, and this is what the comment says, wards are not little five fiefdoms for council people to rule over. Folks don't want to move to other wards because they don't want to lose representation from a certain council member. So what happens when that council member doesn't run for re-election? What happens when that council member loses re-election? Then that defeats the very arguments that are motivating some of the public comments against the proposals at hand. So I want to urge my colleagues this evening, as this conversation moves forward, that we need to challenge the traditional notions that have guided this redistricting committee for decades. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Chairman Crum, I have some questions, perhaps for the city attorney or city clerk. The policy objectives that guide, there are six of them. I've been spending a lot of time this week reading them and rethinking what the charge is. My question is, before I make my comment, are those policy objectives written into the city charter or the city code? And is there a difference with that? And who has the power? Can the council amend the code? Can the council amend the charter? Those are my questions. And then I'll make comments.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the charter is the, I'll try to take these in some order, but maybe reverse. The city's charter is its constitution, so the mayor and council can propose amendments to the charter, or they can be proposed by initiative. That has to be a vote of the people to change the charter. The code is amendable by mayor and council without vote. The policy objectives, I actually need to look and see. I believe they are code, not charter. And the clerk is nodding, so I will stand confirmed there. And I'm sorry, your last question. And those, the objectives are just that. They're subsidiary to the MPD concept, which may be part of your question. And I can't remember your last question.
No, that's very helpful.
So if I may, though, just for my own clarification, are city policies equal to those provisions of the city code?
I think the hierarchy would be federal constitution, charter, code, and then policies in an ideal world, furthering the code, if that makes sense.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Still got the floor.
And I can, yeah, thank you, Chairman Crum. So right now, the way that the objectives are laid out, they're impossible to meet. One cancels the other. And this commission, I'm going to ask us tonight to tell mayor and council a number of recommendations. One of them, not the only one, but one of them, that they do need to engage in a consultation with the public to consider amending the code where these policies are outlined. And I will say this. Why? Why do I say that? Because in the objectives, the policy objectives, first one is to maintain the established war boundaries with a minimum of disruption. The second one is to sustain the compactness of the wards as they previously exist, previous to the commission, to the redistricting. Okay, that if that had been the only two policy directives, then we would have not even had any of the controversies we had with any of them, because then it would have been just sort of a tweaking of numbers to achieve those two, which are, that's one and two. But then three says that the objective should be to maintain an ethnic balance, so not to dilute the Hispanic vote. So Tucson is a minority majority city, where the Latino population is packed into two wards. Therefore, it is diluted by definition of the Supreme Court, and that was the 1994 decision. The Supreme Court was asked to weigh on the question, how would you measure dilution? How would you measure that? And they said, you measure dilution of the vote of minorities when you pack the votes into districts that maintain the integrity of the district, ethnically representative, culturally, but you then take it away from the others in the district. In a city like Tucson, where the Latino population is roughly 50%, roughly, that's when they came up with a concept called rough proportionality. Roughly 50% of the wards should be minority, majority, but they're not. So in that sense, here's a major American city in the Southwest with a minority-majority population where the Latino population vote is already diluted. This is not like we will dilute it. It is. Now, it's clear that the proposal we considered last week would not have changed that if we had moved district precinct 37. It wasn't going to change it. In fact, it was going to change it so minimally. That's why I said that, well, that's not the point. I must have been confused when we were looking at a map the previous week, because I remember making the comment on the record that I thought the move of 37 was going to give a chance of minority representation on Ward 3 around 44%, 44 to 46. You may all remember that. That was a mistake. That didn't happen when it came down to the actual map. I don't know if it was that I read the map in a moment when we were still in transaction. It wasn't complete. However, here's how fluid this is. The 2020 proposal by this same commission in 2020, 2 years ago, that would have moved precinct 37, would have given Ward 3 a 43% Hispanic population, moved from 36 to 43, which was then closer to this rough proportionality. Going back to my point, when you begin to read then the other objectives, they even get more confusing, because then it says that you should maintain the established ward, you should sustain the compactness, you should maintain the ethnic balance so not to dilute. But then number 4 says that we should give preference to options that advance rough proportionality. So really, if we had done our job here, we would have accepted the maps that were proposed that gave preference to rough proportionality and disrupted all of the wards' boundaries, which was contradict principle 1 and 2. And then number 5 says that not only should we give preference to the options that advance rough proportionality, it uses the language that we should give preference to options that reduce dilution that may otherwise exist from previous packing. So in other words, says that's what we should do and reduce voter confusion by the precinct. Okay, I have sat with this all week through Thanksgiving. This is a Rubik's Cube. This is impossible to accomplish. So I will be speaking to the council when it goes before the council, and I will urge tonight to make some sort of recommendation that tells the city council that they need to consider amending these objectives to determine which one really should be the preference, so that future redistricting commissioners are not put in this impossible landlocked situation where you will be called all kinds of names, all kinds of things, because you're trying to balance this. That is aside from the question of general comprehensive outreach and study sessions that need to precede the short time frame that the state imposes on us for this. That cannot happen. We cannot wait again because the same thing will happen. This has to be many of the opposition, many of the people who are conflating wars, boundaries with political power. All of these things have to be put on a study, open sessions. It's going to be very messy. It's going to be very emotional. But the city has time to do this in advance of the next debacle, because with these objectives, and with these sentiments, it will lead exactly to the same results. It will be impossible to do the job. And it will simply never, never redistrict anything. Yet the population is changing dramatically in such a way that 2 years ago, changing precinct 37 to 3 would have resulted in 44% Hispanic. Changing it 2 years later, this is how the population changed, would have changed nothing. That's how much the population in Ward 1 changed within 2 years. So all of these are very sort of complex and overlaying facts that in the current scenario, I am convinced will be impossible to meet this charge. Those are my comments for the record, and when the time comes, I will formulate that into a recommendation to go along with our proposal. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else?
I think it would be good to get some clarity on the ranking of each of these guidelines, because you're right, they are in some cases, in a lot of the cases, mutually exclusive. Like the MTD is like a Supreme Court thing that probably outranks some of these other ones. Some of them are city policy. Some of them are in the city charter. So I would guess it goes Supreme Court, charter, policy, but it's not clear from this document which is which. And I would definitely support a motion to ask for further clarity and rankings of these priorities in the case that they're mutually exclusive.
Mr. Chair, on behalf of the city attorney, I would simply say that I think Mr. Hendel has got it correct. I'm not commenting on how you want to fix all that, but you've stated it accurately.
Okay. Thank you. So MPD is the only one. That's the top one. That's the Supreme Court one.
Correct.
Then there's maintain established and recognizable boundaries with minimum disruption. Is that policy or charter?
Sorry, I need to...
No, no problem. We're putting you on the spot.
Mr. Hetzel, isn't rough proportionality also Supreme Court? Is it not at the same level?
I'm pretty sure rough proportionality is the lowest of the three. It's city policy. It's not charter and it's not Supreme Court. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members. To my knowledge, rough proportionality is not a Supreme Court mandate. It's not like MPD.
I think it was put in as a policy by mayor and council like this year or last year between the previous meeting at the previous redistricting commission and this one.
This past summer.
This summer, yes. Okay.
But the that would be important to clarify, because the definition of rough proportionality derives from a Supreme Court decision, an opinion in 1994. Now, it may be optional. It may not be encoded in the same way as the other one, but it would be important to clarify whether that – do cities have the choice to embrace that or not?
Mr. Chair, members, it's something for you to consider, the rough proportionality. It's a factor for you to consider like other factors, something to have in your head as you're considering options. It's not the level of legal mandate that you have on, for instance, MPD. I don't know if that helps.
That is helpful. Thank you. So then items 1B and 1C, which are maintaining established and recognizable ward boundaries with minimum disruption and sustaining compactness and contiguity of the wards as they presently exist, Are those policy or charter?
Clerk is kindly bringing up the charter for me. My recollection is that most of those are stated in the code, the Tucson code.
So that would be
subordinate to the charter, but it is enacted by mayor and council.
So that would be above policy, but below charter?
Thematic terms, yes.
Okay. Thank you. So it looks like these are written roughly in the order of priority in our document, which is good. So I think all we should do, or at least the minimum of what we need to do, is ask for next year, the next redistricting committee's document to specify these are in order of priority. And better yet, to include where they all come from. That would be nice too.
Mr. Chair, members, with great respect to Mr. Hendel, I would say I don't know that that's correct, that they're actually intended to be listed in order of priority. You're free to think of it that way based on what you've been hearing, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it could very well be a coincidence. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate the clarification. Yeah.
And as I say, you're free to treat them that way. I'm not sure you have a legal obligation to do that. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, thank you.
And if I may, Section 8 of Chapter 16, the city shall be divided into 6 wards, each ward containing, as nearly as possible, the same total population, beginning with the year 2000 and quadrennially thereafter, and in addition, during the second year following the year of any decennial United States census, that would be this year, the mayor and council may, if necessary to equalize the total population contained in said wards, one with another, redistrict the said city as to said ward, and said redistricting shall be done between the first day of October and the 31st day of December of said years. Then there's the redistricting advisory committee, and let me just read you that, and I'll stop. In any year in which redistricting of the city's wards is permitted under this charter, or whenever redistricting is otherwise mandated by law, the mayor and council shall establish a redistricting advisory committee, which shall make written recommendations regarding the redistricting of wards. The formation, term, and activities of the committee shall be regulated by ordinance. No redistricting of the city's wards shall occur prior to the consideration by the mayor and council of the redistricting advisory committee's written recommendations. And I read that to imply that everything that you're thinking of as the considerations is in the code, not further in the charter. Thank you, and now I'll shut up.
No, thank you. That was helpful. So a question for, I guess, staff. What is the structure with which we want to do this meeting? Like the final goal of today's meeting, my understanding, is to have a letter that our committee is going to send to mayor and council. And so it seems to me that one way to do this would be to make motions to include clauses in that letter, for example, what Dr. Alvarez was just suggesting. So is that the correct way to go about this? We make a motion to include a specific clause in the letter, we vote on that, and then that goes in the letter, and we do that a number of times until the letter is done. Is that how this works?
Okay. Would you like to make that motion? Or anyone?
Like a motion about how motions work?
Well, to include our recommendation to the mayor and council that a section be included that.
Yeah, I can make
well,
that.
Well, I wrote down. Go ahead.
Okay. I move that we include in our letter to mayor and council a request to clarify the source and relative priority of each of the committee's objectives in advance of the next redistricting advisory committee session in 2024.
Is there a second?
Second.
discussion. I'd like to add something to that. I guess it's just a part of my education in terms of what I look for. And how do I, for that matter, any future commission member apply, for example, the words rough proportionality? What are the actual factors to consider? And for that reason, I'm seeking some sort of consistency and predictability in terms of what to look at, rather than what I have right now for myself is my own individual opinion on how to apply that. So, yes, I would support that motion and the second just for the purpose of achieving some consistency and predictability, not only of proportionality, but the other considerations of what's disruptive. Well, we've heard one of them could be a council member someone doesn't like. I don't think that's a good reason for what disruptive means, but it could be. I don't know. So I think for the council, whether it's by a separate committee or an ad hoc committee or however it may be, it might be useful to have someone look at particularly the policies and see if they're sufficient to achieve the predictability, the consistency, the definition that I think is being proposed. Thank you. Anyone else?
After we consider this vote on this motion, I would like to propose another motion that specifies some of the points of study that include your comments.
I prefer to hear them right now, and let's see if we could include that as part of the write-up.
I think that part of the study session, so if the motion can include that, not only does council clarify this, but that council engages a participatory consultation with the public at large, with an extensive time for studying, including the centers of this process during this time, that facilitates the definitions and the values that should guide that. For example, what are the conflations between geography and the political boundaries? It's clear that we don't have the power as a commission to change the west side, the south side. I mean, nobody does that. The west is the west, the south is the south. But the political boundaries that crisscross that get conflated with the identity of west side, south side, east side. That's what I think Patrick is saying is arbitrary, right? But here we got to a situation where the arbitrariness got really specific to the point that you really couldn't even, like, tweak any of the edges. One letter that we received said that, for example, and I'm not making a case for it because I already was on record voting against moving 37 last week after we had the discussion, but somebody said that moving 37 was against our policies, the city policies, because it was a major disruption. But what was major and minimum? It was only one precinct. It was not major by number. So are we talking about a definition that has to do with cultural identification with the geography or the political lines represent the minimum? I mean, what is the standard there? That's just an example, random, about the interpretation of the word minimum versus disruption versus maximum. It was a major disruption for the neighborhood, but really, in terms of the numbers here and the guidelines, it was minimum if you looked at the way that they were. So that's an example. The other one is in relationship. The other definition that would be very important is exactly those words give preference to that are indicated right now in the language. If you give preference, that sort of presumes that that's what you should prioritize. So the third one would be, what is the rough proportionality standard? Is it really the majority then words by a certain population? All of these things need to be studied and discussed, because the only way to not be landlocked like this again would then have to be a map that completely disrupted then everybody equally. That all of the words were reimagined completely. But that wouldn't change the fact that you still had a west side ward and a east side one and a south. That wouldn't change the geography, but what would be the horizon, the elasticity of the public understanding words versus geography versus cultural attachment? That cannot be done between October 1st and November 29th with the considerations of study and sensitivity to these attachments if this next committee is going to do its job.
Well, and understanding, though, that the mayor and council by law have to adopt the redistricting plan by December 31st, 2022. So there, I'm afraid to do that. In order to do this justice, the work of whoever looks at particularly the policies need more time. And what you're saying, I hear you saying, is there needs to be a public participation component in the development of these policies, because certainly I'm sympathetic to a major disruption being particular to one precinct and not necessarily a number of adjoining precincts.
Mr. Chair, could I ask if this is going to be a friendly amendment to Ed's motion, just because I feel a little bit like his recommendation is to get clarity from the city council, but what I'm hearing is an alternative that there should be a more thoughtful conversation. And I would agree, it is unfortunate that we go through this exercise where individuals come after a long, hard day to make their voices heard in a process that's not necessarily participatory. So I agree about an intentional strategy to engage representation from historical neighborhoods, from the barrios, to participate in the design of what this looks like versus a passive process that largely leaves people feeling more marginalized than they did before the process got underway. So if possible, if there's an opportunity, if my colleague here would entertain a friendly amendment to the motion, I think.
Well, I'm not certain, because it sounds like you're complementing the initial motion and the second, and I'm not certain that it's changing any of the intention to what the maker and the seconder were saying, but I'll let them speak for themselves. But if there is, if it's necessary, it could just be an amendment and checking to see if it's approved by the maker and the the seconder. So I'll leave that up to.
I'm in theory open to amendments. I'm just not sure exactly what would be the wording of the amendment.
Yeah, so the first, I think, Madam Clerk, the motion was to ask, to recommend that city and the mayor and council.
Was the word clarify the source of the policy objectives and rank them?
Yeah, and yeah, the relative priority in cases where they're mutually exclusive. I wrote down.
And
if you want
to
read
them.
It back, would that be helpful or?
Yeah, but not just.
Okay.
But not just prioritize them, but also define them further, so it not necessarily.
Okay.
That's why I wasn't
defining
sure.
Each one individually.
That's why I wasn't sure if there were two amendments, you know, two different motions, and I should have come back later with one. But yours is city and mayor and council should amend and clarify this. And the second part is, but they should do that after they establish a participatory, inclusive process of consultation way in advance of the actual establishing of a redistricting commission. So that there's plenty of study groups, people, folks who dissented from the work that was being done here should have the opportunity to have labs that they can draw that meet some of that in a almost like a mock commission approach in advance of the formal legalistic. Because by the time you get to us, we were like, okay, this is October 1st, do this. You have a few weeks. And obviously that didn't work. Mm-hmm. So that's the amendment is, can mayor and council do what you're suggesting through a process that changes the dynamic of how redistricting is approached for future commissions? Something like that?
That sounds okay to me. Let me just write it up so I can read it coherently, and then we'll see if you like it, and we'll see what we want to do.
Chair Crum? Oh, Madam Clerk,
no,
please.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I just would like to say that I very much agree with my colleague, Dr. Alvarez's proposal that's been put on the table. I know in this particular situation this year, the timeline was pushed back because of the state's redistricting process, according to Madam Clerk. So I would just like to know whether, like, if this proposal at hand will yet again be, like, impacted. And next thing you know, the community aspect of this proposal is rushed as well. And if there's any way to maybe get ahead, I know we're essentially brainstorming at this point, but when this committee reconvenes in 2 years or 4 years, 2 years, will those future members once again be negatively impacted by the timeline, possibly, that the state has in place when it comes to their redistricting process?
So, Mr. Chair, Mr. Robles, the state will be redistricting again in 24. However, we'll check on that for sure.
Okay. Thank you.
There are some options for starting this process earlier.
Okay.
And I think I would strongly encourage you to make them part of the recommendation.
Okay. Right. Fantastic. Thank you.
So, recommendation to the mayor and council, I think this particular item that we're talking about right now should be set off in a separate section rather than hidden somewhere else in a longer narrative.
Well, right now I'm typing a draft of a motion that would ask mayor and council for three things, and I'm curious to hear your guys' thoughts on this. One, start engaging the public far in advance of the next meeting so that we can identify the desires and goals of the people of Tucson early rather than making them show up to these last-minute hearings. That would be one. Two is start the official redistricting advisory committee process as early as you're legally allowed to, which I don't know. I guess October 1st, but we're not really sure. So I'll just say as early as we're legally allowed, if you guys like that wording. And three, clarify the source of each of our objectives and the relative priority of each objective in cases where they're mutually exclusive. So that's what I'm thinking now. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that.
I think that sounds great. My one recommendation would be that, I know that you said start it in October as early as possible. My thought would be that this conversation should probably be part of what happens in our community ongoing. So rather than it being October before it's going to have to happen, have it start as a community building process, at least maybe 12 calendar days in advance of the latest date in which a commission would have to be coming together to make recommendations to put before the community in public hearings and before the mayor and council for consideration.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I wonder if we're talking about something that is not the commission, but like a task force or a study group or something that precedes the legal mandate of a commission that could start, you know, in January or February, just because the process of building consensus about these dramatic changes, it's going to take more than people are busy, people have. It's going to take months of participatory engagement where people look at, no, that's impossible. That will never work in Tucson type of conversations.
Yeah. However it's called, I think I'd leave that up to the mayor and council, whether it's an ad hoc committee or yes, exactly. Now, if I may, though, I'd like to return back to what the agenda is tonight, and not that this isn't a part of the agenda, but we still need to consider which redistricting proposal we're going to recommend to the mayor and council, be it 3A or 3C. 2C. No.
And Mr. Chair, you are not limited to one proposal. You can give the mayor and council options.
Mr. Jaramillo, can you tell us a little bit about 2A? And there are two current Ward 5 precincts that will be moving to 1. Do you have any comments on that, on 2A?
Yes, that would be, I believe it's 47 and 244. From our previous meetings that we've had, you know, I believe that we have to take into consideration what the community has said and spoken for as far as not wanting to be moved and stay in Ward 5. So that's why I made that recommendation. And I think it's important that we, at this point in time, listen to what the community is saying. I know that by whatever map we decide to recommend, I know some people will probably not be it, the various happy people, but, you know, we're trying to do the best we can with what we have. And, you know, to be quite honest with you, I've been in plenty of committees, and this is probably one of the hardest committees I've ever been on as far as deciding which way we want to go. So, you know, I'd like to make a recommendation, if it's proper, Chairman Crum, that we recommend to City and Mayor and Council Proposal 2C.
Is there a, for discussion purposes only, is
sorry,
there a second?
We're still in the other motion.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm okay. Getting a little confused. I don't know if we need to, would it, for the purpose of parliamentary procedure and not scrambling everybody's bacon too much, do we need to table this first motion? My colleague over here is tippity tapping.
I got it. I'm done.
You've got it done? Okay. Yes. So, okay.
So,
we would not even propose.
Recommend
rather.
Proposal 2C.
2A yeah. is what we're saying.
2C.
But 2A is off the table. Yeah. We don't discuss. It doesn't even necessarily.
So I think we should do that or discuss that motion, but let's do it after we do the housekeeping. I think we're all going to agree on this, and if we don't, let's discuss it and make something mm-hmm. we can all agree on. Yeah, can I put text up there?
Is there any, I just think about our colleague in Ward 4 who can't see what my colleague in Ward 3 has typed up. Is there a way for us to share it for folks who are viewing as well? Okay.
How are we going to get it from my laptop to this thing? I think I'll just have to read it, right? Okay, let me just read it, and I think we're just all going to agree on this, so it shouldn't, and then I can type it up for you after if you want, or however this one. No, that's okay. Okay, so there's already a motion on the floor, so I have to withdraw that one. So I withdraw the motion on the table. Do we need a second to withdraw as well? No. Okay, we're good. I move that in our letter to Mayor and Council, we request three things. One, start engaging the public far in advance of the next redistricting meeting to identify the desires and goals of the people of Tucson early, perhaps via a task force or similar body. Starting the conversation just a few months in advance of the deadline results in rightful frustration among both the committee and the broader public. Two, identify the earliest possible start date for the official meetings of the 2024 Redistricting Advisory Committee and start the appointment process well in advance of that date so the committee can start meeting as soon as possible. Three, clarify the source of each of our objectives, e.g. Supreme Court mandate, city charter, city code, or city policy, and the relative priority of each objective in cases where they are mutually exclusive.
I think it sounds great so far. I think the first recommendation mentioned in your motion is a bit ambiguous in terms of starting early. So perhaps this committee can agree on, maybe we're talking January or February or whatnot. This way, whoever is on the council at that point in time, their version of, make sure that their version of early is not August, right, or September.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, I'll amend it to, instead of saying far in advance of the next redistricting meeting, I'll just say January 2023. Does that work?
Sure. That sounds okay to me.
All right, so that's the motion.
Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry, though. I should have called you out of order because we had another motion on the floor, which was the adoption of a particular...
That was ineligible because it was during another motion, right?
Okay. Excuse me.
Mr. Chair, Madam, members of the committee, just for clarification, in aid of the suggested motion, two quick things. As I read Tucson Code Chapter 10A, Section or Article 5, there is no limit. The Mayor and Council is required by resolution to establish a committee in the years where it needs to establish a committee. There is no limit on when they do that. So I think would be consistent with what you're saying about very early. The problem comes for the committee in terms of timing comes only in any committee that's dealing with the second year after the census, because that's when the state redistricts. And so that's when we get behind the eight ball on having things having to happen before this committee can do anything or Mayor and Council can form the committee. Bottom line is, in 2 years and in 6 years, this committee can meet as early as you want in the year and start doing these things and isn't going to be limited in the way you were. I hope that makes sense, and I'll answer any questions.
Right.
So we don't really need to say make a separate task force. We can have it be the RAC.
But I hasten to add, it could be whatever you want it to be, whatever you want to recommend.
Right.
You could also recommend a task force outside that time frame.
if that makes sense. But if we're allowed to start as early as we want, we could just say, start the next redistricting advisory committee in 2023. Right?
I just feel that there's something about trust here that has been broken. And I think that when people, I would speak for myself, I would love to participate as a citizen, as an advocate, as an activist in a study group with neighbors and communities. I am not looking forward to being a commissioner who's been appointed to that role in a process that was difficult, convoluted, and that distorted the priorities of the values of some of us sitting on this body. But I would definitely think there's something more open about a task force and a group of citizens studying and deliberating an issue before they're formally appointed as a commission, which clearly was a process of appointment, political appointments. We won't deny that.
Would it be possible, would it be appropriate to say, when we say as early as possible, to be no more than or no later than 12 calendar months before the state redistricts? And would that keep us at least fluid enough that we take into consideration when the state's going to redistrict so that this work can get started well in advance of, or is that still just as muddy?
Well, so the state redistricts every 10 years, but the city redistricts every 4 years plus one additional after the census, right? And so the four-year ones have a more flexible start date, which is anytime you want. And the census ones, every 10 years, you basically have to wait until October. Is that correct?
So non-census years, every 4 years, redistricting is considered. They don't have to redistrict if the factors don't require it. For instance, MPD, just as an example. And then when there is redistricting by census, we can try to start early, but we're not going to really have data that is useful to us until a certain point in the process that we don't control. Is that an accurate statement, Madam Clerk?
And so in the off years, when it's not coming off a census, where does the data on population changes come from?
Generally annexations, and you can correct me, intermediate census, what I'll just call intermediate census data, okay, or interim or whatever. And to your colleague's question, there could be a start earlier. The current 10A says in a redistricting year, form a committee. Two things could happen. They could amend and say, well, we're going to potentially empower you to start earlier. Or they could leave that alone and simply say, because they also have this power, to form ad hoc advisory committees. For instance, the task force, just as to shorthand it, that could do this in a non-redistricting year. And you could start that anytime. I don't know if that helps.
Chairman Crum?
Sure.
Do we have to take into consideration also when the county does their redistricting?
Again, I think the county only redistricts every 10 years.
Every 10 years as well.
Is that right? Yeah. I don't think the county is any different from the state in terms of they do it when the census changes, when the official census, decennial census changes.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, we have a motion on the floor. I did not hear a second.
Well, am I allowed to amend it before it has a second? Or
sure.
No? Okay. Because I want to just amend it to be something we all agree to, even though maybe that's not the official Roberts Rules process. But what if we say, start engaging the public 1 year in advance of each redistricting deadline either via the official redistricting advisory committee or a redistricting task force. Would that work? I mean, because it's just a recommendation. They're going to do whatever they want, but...
That works for me.
Okay. Patrick? Okay.
Second.
Okay. Now, does that make number two superfluous? Identify the earliest possible start date and start the appointment process well in advance so the committee can start meeting as soon as possible. I guess we can leave that in there because that might be a different committee. There might be a task force for January through October and then a committee from October through November. So okay, I'll leave that in there. Okay. So should I like read the whole thing again or type it on this laptop?
You have the transcript on, so
okay.
It will show online.
Okay, cool. So I am amending my own motion to read as follows. I move that in our letter to Mayor and Council, we request three things. One, start engaging the public 1 year in advance of each redistricting deadline, either via the official redistricting advisory committee or a redistricting task force. Starting the conversation just a few months in advance of the deadline results in rightful frustration among both the committee and the broader public. Two, identify the earliest possible start date for the official meetings of the 2024 Redistricting Advisory Committee and start the appointment process well in advance of that date so that the committee can start meeting as soon as legally allowed. Three, clarify the source of each of our objectives, e.g. Supreme Court mandate, city charter, city code, or city policy, and the relative priority of each objective in cases where they are mutually exclusive.
Now, shall we, in that third point, shall we include a specific part that says that that's asking the council, that this is a duty of the council to direct staff to review the six policies, their origin, and their priority?
That's what I intended it to say.
Okay.
Okay. Did anybody second that?
Second.
Discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion and second?
Aye.
Aye.
It's unanimous. Thank you. Now, just to close, one other item that came up at our very first meeting, because I don't want somebody coming up and saying, oh, what happened to this? Because I remember. This is what I wrote at the time. The committee also discussed at length various options which could create designate another minority ward within the boundaries of the existing six wards. While the committee's efforts were not successful at the time, and we spent about a half an hour figuring out how we could do it and did not, the committee thought it important nonetheless for the mayor and council to be formally involved in continuing the discussion of this matter. Accordingly, the committee is requesting that the city clerk report to the mayor and council not less than once annually the changing and shifting populations along with the attendant maps or maps which would drive consideration of the creation of an additional minority ward. Is that still something that three of you were interested in at the time?
It's something that I'm willing to support adding to our recommendation to the council. I'd also like to add language in there that entertains and formally put this together, but I'd like to add language in there that entertains and looks at how right now it's roughly 90,000 per ward. You got cities like Chicago, Boston, who've got 50K people per ward or district or however they label their areas. And I'm assuming that by the end of this decade, by the middle of this decade, we're not going to have just 90,000 people roughly per each ward. It's going to go up. And I think it's in the best interest of equitable representation and sustainable leadership that we have conversations that add not just a third majority ward, but ideally two more wards.
Well, and I also added finally, after the initial one, finally adding an additional, oops, here it is. Council does discuss why it is important. Finally adding an additional ward was mentioned with the understanding that an additional ward to the six that we have now, a seventh ward, understanding that the approval would require a charter change and therefore approval by the voting public. And I'm so happy in terms of the original motion, the motion that was just passed, saying let's start on this early, because if you wait until you say, okay, we got the population, it could take two or three years later before it actually appears. And so if you're really interested, people need to start on this really early, because it's not just about definitions and things like that. It's changing people's opinions and emotions, or validating them as well.
Chairman Crum, and Madam Clerk, I believe when you prepare the memo, looking at the template you gave us, you actually explain on section 2 the options considered by the committee. So at one point, you will say there that you gave us two maps, rough proportionality map 1 and map 2, and it should reflect that we like those maps in that they achieve rough proportionality and they also achieve MPD, but we recognize that at this time the sentiment of the public and it just was not aligned to do such a major disruption. And that I believe for the record, we need to say we understand that a major disruption may be necessary in the future as the population changes to accomplish these things, but to get there and push that at this time, just none of us felt that it was tenable to do that, but that we did consider those maps. I think that will be reflected in that memo because the way that you gave us the template. But if we can also add a little bit of comment there as to the reason why we thought that we rejected them.
Well, but I'm not certain we achieved rough proportionality citywide.
Yeah, just to clarify the record, we never had a map that achieved rough proportionality and was below 10% MPD.
Yeah, we have it here.
Which map was that?
This is rough proportionality map 1 had MPD at 6.4. Rough proportionality map 2 had 5.4.
Okay, I stand corrected. Thank you.
In my review of that,
however, I'm looking at proposal 2C.
Those were given to us for the November 8th meeting, I think, November 10th.
Well, and to that point, you know, while the maps are no longer a consideration, it it created, I believe, from just even visually, what I could only imagine, a great deal of even more voter confusion, which is one of the objectives that we're trying to avoid. So to your earlier point and the genesis of, you know, the third point of the motion to help us avoid this, almost need to start with a map that doesn't have any of the wards drawn and redraw from there in a hypothetical setting. So that, you know, not knowing, of course, that it's not necessarily that something that just to look at what that would look like and what that would take to get to the ideal, as hopefully in the future articulated through the prioritization of the various different objectives, in the code.
That's such an interesting proposal. The fact that if the public was invited to a participatory process that had no color of wards, they could still advise on geographical attachments and say, come on, this is the west side, and not have any colors. And then from there, they themselves will be challenged to say, okay, but then I think these could be a little bit more central, these could be a little bit more south, these could be a little bit more north, but without the wards, starting essentially from scratch. Even if that eventually leads nowhere, it seems to me like at some point in the process of democracy and deliberation, it could be really liberating and really instructive for people to play with that exercise.
Now, are we ready to get back to recommending a proposal to the mayor and council? And you have a motion which recommended.
Yeah, Mike.
Yes, I have a motion that we recommend proposal 2C to mayor and council.
Second.
Okay, so it's motion has been made and seconded. Discussion.
Well, proposal 2A. By my colleague, excuse me, proposal 2A by my colleague, proposal 2A, excuse me, it's been a long day. Thank you. Yes, yeah, so at earlier this evening, my colleague mentioned how we had folks within precinct 47 and 244 speak out against proposal 2A at the last meeting, and that's now justifying not moving proposal 2A forward. But at tonight's meeting, we had community members from precinct 45 come forward and speak out against proposal 2C. So I would just like to know, like, how far are we willing to go in utilizing public comment in determining which map we choose to move forward with? Because both maps have people publicly opposing and coming to our meetings and speaking out against this.
Can I make a point? I'm not. So 2A, we got a good number of complaints via email and at the last public hearing against 2A, specifically because of precincts 47 and 244. There must have been at least 10 or 15 total people between the emails and that meeting. We have maybe one person speaking out against 2C, although that person, I believe, is from Armory Park, and we're not moving Armory Park. And their ask at the first public hearing was to not move Armory Park from Ward 6 into Ward 1. I believe the gentleman tonight said neither map 2A nor 2C is ideal. Which, fair enough. But I think we have, if we're not moving Armory Park, it seems like the amount of public resistance to map 2C is pretty minimal, whereas 2A has quite a bit of opposition. So if we're just measuring the magnitude, I don't think it's particularly close.
Well, and if we're measuring magnitude in general, You just mentioned we had 15 people come forward. I think there's more than 15 people that live in precinct 47 and 244. So I'm not sure if this perspective is the healthy way forward. I think either way, we're going to have to move forward with upsetting folks. And if it's between 15 and two people, neither of those numbers are, I believe, are reflective of the community at hand.
I actually think we've heard quite a bit from 47 and 244 from people who represent the communities. Didn't we hear from the leaders of neighborhood coalitions there who do represent like hundreds of people? I mean, we can't really expect thousands of people to show up. These people have lives and jobs and things going on. In fact, my understanding is that some people found out kind of late in the process about this idea because the whole thing has been so rushed. And, you know, people in low-income communities often have two jobs. They don't subscribe to their city councilors' newsletters, and they might, you know, have so much stuff going on, they don't really hear about it till the last minute. So I actually think the amount of representation that we saw is pretty substantial from those two.
In addition to that, Proposal 2C has a deviation, has a negative deviation for Ward 1. We're at 85,000. And in Proposal 2A, we're at least moving up to 89,000 residents. I believe the council member from Ward 1, Council Member Santa Cruz, would not agree with our population remaining stagnant compared to other wards in the city. We want to make sure that we have each ward at a level playing field, and I don't believe 2C does that. And 2C does, and it seems like we have Proposal 2C because we have the least amount of folks speaking out against that, and I don't think that we should use that as our sole purpose as moving forward with this.
Chairman Crum?
Yes, sir.
By moving forward with the recommendation that we made earlier to City and Council, this would be kind of an issue that would be handled in the future to have being transparent and informational, so if and when the people of the community members meet to discuss this is the kind of issues that they'll have to discuss. I think that's important. I still recommend that 2C is probably the ideal way to go today. I'm not saying it's the best thing for the future today.
Right. My primary heartache is with the mayor and council. 2A, the MPD is 2.96%. 2C is 9.38%. So about 0.3%. Close to what the Supreme Court will say, this is bad. So I'm looking at it and I'm saying, we're kicking the can down the road. The only difference is the normal road. It's way out there. We can see the end of the road. When it's 9.8%, we know the end of the road is pretty close to us. And the end of the road, it has concrete and asphalt in it. And the Supreme Court is going to say, remove some of it. And we don't have a choice. And it has to happen. Oh, okay, let me finish though. So we know where the end of the road is. We need to remove it. And we're telling the mayor and council, go ahead and take this one. But we know in potentially 1 or 2 years, we're going to be exceeding potentially that 10%. And that's what gives me the heartache mostly, is with my council member saying, well, Steve, you're screwed. And I have problems doing that, quite frankly. But I necessarily don't have a problem with 2C other than we're so close to reaching that max that that's something else to start out early on is saying, what precincts can we move where we're not going to get anyone who says, no, I don't want you moving it. And if the same thing happens this time around, next time around, it's going to be even bad because that stuff at the end of the road is only going to be higher. We can't negotiate population or analyze population. Okay, that's it for me. And yes, sir, Mr. Drake, you have something to say?
Yeah, thank you very much. I've been quiet and listening, and I think that what my ward is in the position of saying is that we really just need to give 2A and 2C to the mayor and council. They're going to make a decision regardless of what we say and whatever we recommend. I think we're bending ourselves in mental pretzels trying to figure this out. And so we should give both recommendations to them, but then also give them our rationale behind each recommendation and really just help them decide. I mean, that's our charge anyway, right? That's all I really wanted to say. Thank you.
So I've been thinking about MPD a lot. And one point I noticed is that nowhere does it say we have to minimize it. It just says it has to be below 10%. So the reason to minimize it further would be so that it's not kicking the can, so that we can keep this map for 10 years before we have to redo it. But given what we just said in the motion that passed a few minutes ago, we're going to be thinking about some bigger picture ideas, maybe moving towards rough proportionality. I don't think anyone's going to say, oh, well, map 2A is so fantastic, let's just keep it for 10 years. Like, they're going to want to make more changes next time around. We're in a lucky position that there's only 2 years between this and the next meeting, so we can afford to kind of kick the can down the road for 2 years while being very clear that we want to start the next process as early as possible. I personally think that would be the best way to do this, and I don't really like the idea of saying, well, let's just throw 47 and 244 under the bus and everyone else who complained, you get exactly your way. But those two who complained, sorry, we're throwing you under so that we can minimize MPD even further. Like, that's not really that's not even one of the goals of the committee. So in an ideal world, I don't love the idea of kicking the can. But we're going to be redoing this in 2 years anyway. So let's try to have as little disruption and not throw these precincts under the bus who may have just found out a couple days ago or a week ago that we're doing this. And so that's why I support 2C and not 2A. Thank you.
Any further discussion?
Are we really so sure that the folks in precinct 275 know that they may be moving to Ward 5 from Ward 4? I mean, it's, again, I feel like there's some fallacies in our arguments this evening. Kicking the can down the road, why not now? Kicking the can down the road, not now, let's do it later. Why not now? I mean, I get that there have been some issues in terms of public engagement, but if I'm a betting man, I would bet that these very issues plagued the committee 2 years ago. Folks wanting to wait 2 years later. Here we are 2 years later, and we're saying 2 years later.
But the difference is that this time we're going to start the process a year in advance instead of a month in advance. So we'll have more time to figure out who opposes what, and there won't be any issues of people being surprised at the last second and unable to show up at the hearing because they're working their second job. You know, and as for 275, I mean, that's been on the table since the very beginning, I think. And we haven't heard a single comment on it in 5 weeks, however long we've been doing this. So I feel more comfortable about moving 275 than I do about the ones that were proposed much more recently.
Well, any further discussion on the?
Yes, the question, the one thing that I think is really important, we just passed a motion with three recommendations. The mayor and council have not accepted those. So to assume that 2C gets to be revisited January of next year, and we can start that process earlier, assumes a vote that has not yet been taken by mayor and council as to whether or not they want to adopt that recommendation. So to the point that our colleague in Ward 4 made with respect to both proposals going before mayor and council for consideration, I would almost, and I don't like that much at all, because my concern with 2C is the fact that one ward is seeing a substantial decrease compared to the other, and 5,000 might not be much, but it does concern me a little bit when we are talking about one of the two minority majority districts losing voters, and seeing the proportionality spike upward. I guess that concerns me. But to that point, I would be more inclined to, if I don't know if the proposer of the amendment, or sorry, of the motion would be willing to accept a friendly amendment to consider our colleague in Ward 4's recommendation that both proposals go forward for mayor and council. And then whichever way they should decide on the previous successful motion with respect to the three recommendations could guide which proposal they choose to move forward with.
I respect that idea. I don't want to accept it as a friendly amendment, but we could vote on a regular amendment. I do just want to clarify for the record, though, we've been hearing about Ward 1 losing members. That's, people are saying relative to the other proposal, it's losing members, quote unquote, but they would actually be gaining population under either one of our proposals. Both of our proposals increase the size of Ward 1 relative to where it is now. So I just want to clarify that. It is true that one of our proposals grows Ward 1 by more than the other one does, but it's important to note that they both grow Ward 1.
The Ward 1 population, I believe, grows by 1,000. So, I mean, I don't think I'm willing to accept an argument that says let's keep Ward 1 as the ward with the lowest amount of folks as compared to the other wards, because Proposal C causes the minimum amount of disruption. The act of redistricting is disrupting. I mean, it's what we're doing. It's every year. That's why we have folks come to this commission and speak during call to the public. So, you know, I think we can go back and forth all night. I'm willing to contemplate the idea of including two proposals as a recommendation to the mayor and council. Because at the end of the day, maybe we could say all we want, but we don't make the decision. I'm interested in how the rest of my colleagues feel.
Are we ready to vote?
Made the motion. Mr. Jaramillo made the motion to proceed with proposal 2C.
Well, hearing no objection. Okay.
If I would like to make an amendment to this motion to include map 2A, that we move forward with maps 2A and 2C as the recommendation. Did I abide by Robert's rules of order?
Is that acceptable to the maker of the motion as well as the seconder?
I'll tell you why.
Mr. Chair. And I'll tell you why. You know, we're looking at the MPD for 2A.96, whereas 2C would take us to 9.8, closer to the recommendation that they made. So that's why. And then there'll be future committees that, with the growth of the population, so they can study this. And at that time, then make the decision.
But even at that point, and this is me speaking for my ward as well, by the way, would be with 2 years later, would be we be even more or less excited to give up a precinct. And right now, I don't see folks willing to give up any of their precincts, being a whole precinct or being a split precinct.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I'm troubled by not wanting to offer mayor and council flexibility. I think I can think of a couple of reasons why it's critical to do so. One, you know, if we don't give mayor and council flexibility and options, we're painting them into a box. So what happens if they don't like it? In the option that the singular option that we provide for them. And further, since we are going to be doing this again in a couple of years, we can illustrate that one of these two options potentially provides greater growth and flexibility so that, you know, if there need to be changes down the line, they don't have to go through as much difficult change and consternation in order to satisfy the redistricting requirements if we give them two options that potentially create more flexibility. So I think it's a bit myopic and short-sighted to only advance one option to mayor and council.
So currently, if we vote, it's either for or against 2C, correct? That's a motion. Are we ready to vote? Roll call.
Mr. Aitken?
No.
Dr. Operez?
Yes.
Mr. Crum?
No.
Ms. Darland?
No.
Mr. Hendel?
Yes.
Mr. Jaramillo?
Yes.
Mr. Robles?
No.
Motion fails 4-3.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion that we include in our letter to mayor and council that they do not move precinct 37. And the reason, I'll expand on that during discussion.
37 or 47?
37.
Okay. Well, that's...
I'll expand on it now. Because in our letter to mayor and council, it's just going to be one document that they will read. And as Mr. Aitken pointed out, they you know, might not like what they see. They might want to think about other options. And, you know, they're pretty busy. They might not have the time to read the legal action report and the minutes of our previous meeting where we all unanimously voted to kill the map that moved Precinct 37. They might not know that that happened. I think we should include that in the document so that if they want to change what we recommend, they know that we already studied that and rejected it unanimously.
Chair Crum, Madam Clerk, does Mayor and Council have the ability to look at our map and then redraw the whole thing?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, yes, they could. They have to consider your recommendation. They do not have to follow your recommendation.
Okay, thank you.
I feel strongly that we should not single out any single precinct as a matter of our letter. I mean, if we did that, we will open Pandora's box for almost every other precinct that has been contested here. What are we going to mention? Don't move Armory Park. And some of these things, remember, we already accepted the premise that some of these things are emotionally valid, but irrational when it comes to the distinction between a street and another, including, by the way, which I have no quarrels with saying, some of those distinctions on 47, which is essentially, when you're there, Mr. Jaramillo, when you are visiting 6th Avenue, 12th Avenue, you are in the neighborhoods in a porous way on the south side. The fact that folks are attached to this ward coming through this street and that street, it's so granular that if we mention that 37, then we'll have to mention 47, then we'll have to mention...
there's a key distinction here. We already voted on this. In the legal action report from last session, it says it was moved, seconded, and carried by a voice vote of 7-0 to eliminate Map 2B and that Precinct 37 be excluded from redistricting consideration. All I'm suggesting is that we put that sentence from the legal action report into our letter so that they know that that happened. It did happen. We're not changing our vote on that. I just want them to know that we did that so that they don't try to go back to that as an option.
To that point, I would imagine that would be summarized in the second section of the letter that kind of summarizes the various different plans and proposals and why they were rejected. And to the point of Dr. Alvarez, I also agree with that because then I am also concerned that when two things. First of all, I mean, we've got a number of splits that all of a sudden have been made splits because of previous conversations around the contesting of moving these folks into not even really moving people. It's not even a physical thing that happens, but by reassigning precincts to other wards created conversation, consternation, and then we have a split. And so if we're going, then we start to basically, if we say it can't be considered, I wonder what the ramification is from, again, the one prevailing motion that we have, which is for a really robust and thoughtful community conversation over what this could look like if we single out these sacred areas within our community. What's the point of the prevailing motion that we've already passed? We've basically said, here's what we want you to do. We want you to do something really monumental and take a really bold step and a courageous step in taking and engaging the community in a really big and meaningful conversation. Oh, but don't include this precinct and preserve these splits. We've done nothing here. We really haven't.
It's just the reason is we put them through this 2 years ago. We put them through it again last 2 weeks ago. And I just want to make sure the mayor and council know that they should not do it a third time because the same thing will happen. I mean, maybe this doesn't have to be a motion. I guess I'll ask staff, is that vote going to go in the final letter anyway? Maybe we don't even have to vote on this because we voted on it last time.
Before we proceed any further, is there a second? A second to going with both of the...
The motion was to include in our letter that at the November 17th meeting, we voted 7-0 to not move Precinct 37.
I'm advised that we do not need to do that by motion, that will be part of the proceedings that are in Section 2 of the recommendation. You will have to vote on the recommendation and what might, I don't know if you prefer to go through the recommendation now and kind of list what you want included so that we can get a draft to you.
Okay.
Because what I'm foreseeing, staff can correct me if I'm wrong, we will be drafting it with the understanding that you have approved what we're going to draft and you're going to sign it electronically. There can't be another meeting unless you call or you agree to meet tomorrow.
So I guess I'll just ask staff, are all of our previous, the maps that we rejected and the votes that we've taken in the past, will that be in the final letter to mayor and council?
It will if you tell us that's part of your recommendation, yes.
Okay, so that's kind of what I'm trying to do here. I guess I'll broaden it. I move that we include a brief summary of all of the maps that we voted to reject and why in the letter.
Yes, to that point, in the draft that was circulated, it does state on the second page, it does say at its November 10th meeting, it goes over the proposals that were put before, and then the last paragraph is both proposals were put forward at the public hearing. The committee also voted to show all previous studies as rejected. I take back my comment. November 17 isn't actually, we don't have a notation there, so I reject my, all right.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I hear what you're saying. My apologies.
In the paragraph that starts at its November 17th meeting and public hearing, comma, there's no end of the sentence because you're going to fill that in later. All I'm saying is that we put in that spot that we voted 7-0 not to move Precinct 37. That shouldn't have to be a controversial thing.
If I were to be a conspiracy theorist, which I'm not, I would be so intrigued by why you find so absolutely necessary to ensure that Precinct 37 never makes it to Ward 3. I mean,
because
what's
we
the
tried
logic
to,
there?
Because we tried to do that 2 years ago, and they
Chair Crum
made protests and convinced mayor and council not to do it. I have the floor. We unadvisedly did it again at the previous meeting, and they made the same protests as last time. We should stop doing this to people that have already made their thoughts very clear. This shouldn't be controversial. All the other ones are in there already. I'm just saying we should put in there what we voted on.
The transparency here is that you're out of order. Precinct 37 becomes your single focus here.
We voted on it. There was a vote. You voted yes, not to move Precinct 37.
Not in the context of a forever erased.
The motion specifically says not to move 37, and we all voted for it.
Chair Crum.
Yes, sir.
So Precinct 37 today, reconsidering Precinct 82 now as well, because we had a lot of folks come out to our second meeting, our third meeting. I mean, I think we're setting a precedent that is unhealthy for this committee 2-4 years from now. And if we're talking about moving this city forward, we're going to have to consider precincts all over town, and we're going to have emotions involved. We're going to have neighbors involved. And if it's Precinct 37, next Precinct 82, what about Precinct 129? I mean, we're just...
Guys, the motion was not to say never in the entire future of Tucson are we going to touch 37. That's not the motion. The motion is to say that last meeting we voted 7-0 not to move 37 at this redistricting session. That happened. We all voted for it.
Understood, but that was also the proposal as a whole. So I think that's – and there were other pieces of that proposal, 37, yes, absolutely one of them. But I think that we want to be thoughtful that we have rejected other proposals because I believe it was the split in 82 was discussed. And so
that is correct.
So I certainly want to.
In the legal action report, it says that we voted 7-0, quote, to eliminate 2B as an option and that Precinct 37 be excluded from redistricting consideration. Now, we can debate whether the legal action report is correct, but that was the motion. It specified 37. It singled it out, and we all voted yes.
I believe that it referred to the proposal at hand,
but
not to the entire process of redistricting that council and mayor have authority over.
But isn't the reason we voted to kill 2B because 37 packed the House and we all agreed that we shouldn't move it? Is that not why we all voted yes? That was clearly why.
That's not clearly why. That was a consideration among many others.
If I may, just in a spirit of compromise, as it relates to Precinct 45, That was Armory Park and Barrio Histórico and that particular split. My council member is not particularly tied to one proposal or the other. So Precinct 45 could also be under 2A if you so wanted it. Right now, Proposal 2A does not contain 45. Just so you know, if you want to include 45, my council member doesn't mind giving up that split portion to Ward 1 or Ward 5 or whatever.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question of the staff quickly? I'm sorry. With respect to the legal action report, I do understand. Those are all also provided to Mayor and Council as well, alongside with the letter of recommendation. So all actions relative to the vote and such are also available and provided to Mayor and Council as well in the final package, or?
If you would like us to be LARs, the legal action reports aren't currently listed as an attachment, but we can certainly do that.
No, I was just making sure that it was actually going to be part of the report. And because I think that I'm sorry, the lateness of the hour, and it's not very late, but I'm not as young as I used to be. I think that I understand stipulating as part of the record the fact that it was rejected is one thing, but what I initially heard in the initial making of the motion was basically to direct mayor and council to not consider it. So maybe I misunderstood the motion as not necessarily noting for the record what transpired on the 17th, but rather was giving direction to mayor and council to eliminate from consideration a potential move of any precinct that may have been considered in a previous proposal, but more specifically 37.
Mr. Chair, this is John Aiken. May I speak?
Yes, go for it.
Oh, sorry. I just I see you guys on a small screen, so I'm not sure if you're signaling me or not. But the mayor and council, they receive all the minutes. They receive all of the information that we have. I don't know that there's a need to provide additional information and inundate their inbox with more stuff, because presumably this is such an important topic. They will have done all of their homework prior to getting our recommendation. So I'm just putting that out there that they're probably well aware of all the stuff that we are talking about. And the LARs will be in the mayor and council materials for the sixth meeting anyway. So I just don't know that there's a need for additional stuff. And may I also just procedurally ask, I think I got a little bit lost. What is the current motion on the table? I don't even know what the current motion is right now.
The current motion is to include a brief summary of all the maps that you voted to reject and why, and specifically containing the sentence from the LAR that you voted 7-0 not to move Precinct 37 and to remove it from consideration. I have not heard a second to that motion.
Which is information that they already have anyway, so it doesn't need to be included.
I'm just concerned they're not going to have time to comb through all the legal action reports, but I mean,
I wouldn't be concerned with that, because this is such an important high level topic with such high visibility and such public. I wouldn't be concerned that they're not going to read it. I mean, listen, with my 8 years on the school board, anytime a topic of this high visibility comes to us, we're pouring through every single sentence that comes to our inbox or minutes or whatever. So I wouldn't be concerned that they're not going to have time to read it.
I would also like to say that the scope, the global scope to which Mr. Hendel refers to, was not the intent in my interpretation of that vote. It simply said that it will not be considered in the process of generating a new map, because it would have led us to yet one more impasse. But it's preposterous to suggest that any precinct will not be under consideration by the council and mayor under any larger consideration of redistricting at all. In the particular motion that we took, it made sense because we were rejecting map 2B, and we were saying in the next map that we create, map 2C or D or E, let's not go down that road again. But that the fact that we would make a statement that would be so global in scope as to limit mayor and council consideration of any precinct seems to me that is beyond our even our mandate here. That's not our job.
Is there a second to the motion so we can continue discussion?
Okay, I withdraw the motion. But it will be in the letter that we voted to reject Map 2B, and it will explain that Map 2B differed from Map 2A only in that it moved 37, correct? That we don't have to vote on that? That's just already going to happen? Is that correct?
We'll go back and listen to the recording and transcribe the motion as it was voted on.
So right now we don't have a recommendation for the mayor and council to consider.
Chair Crum, I would like to make a motion that the Redistricting Advisory Committee moves forward with recommending Proposal 2A to mayor and council.
Is there a second to that motion? Recommending 2A.
Is now an appropriate time to request if you would be amenable to a friendly amendment?
Sure.
Because I would like to see two proposals, you know, for consideration. I do understand and am sympathetic to constraining the mayor and council to only one proposal for consideration,
mm-hmm.
Especially considering the previously prevailing motion and how that could be informed or dissert. Would you be willing to consider adding both 2C and 2A?
Yes.
Are you amending the motion?
Yes. So with that being said, I would like to make a motion that we move forward with proposals 2A and 2C as the official recommendation by the Redistricting Advisory Committee to Mayor and Council.
I second.
Second.
Oh, great.
Good. And I would like to amend it in terms of 2A to include precinct 0045. Moving that from Ward 6 to a split between 1 and 6. And the splitting street is Stone, just to make it clear.
I'll second that.
I don't think you can second that. It's an amendment, so the original person who made the recommendation.
The
yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So with that, I'll reread the whole.
Then it has to be reseconded.
Okay. So I'll read the motion again with the additional amendment. I would like to move that we move forward with proposals 2A and 2C, with 2A having 45 split between wards 6 and wards 1.
Quick point of clarification. For the sake of the public understanding what we're doing, call that 2D. That's because it is a new map that we've never done before. I mean, I'm fine either way, just asking. I guess for staff, like, is it easier for you guys to say 2A but amended to move 45, or is it easier to just call it 2D?
And 2C already includes 45. Okay.
And it's split at Stone, so I'm not sure that we even need that as a motion because it's 2C as it exists now.
Okay. So just asking for clarification, proposal 2A is proposal 2A with the addition of 45, which is, we're not considering proposal 2C. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for asking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that that's correct, Mr. Chairman. I believe Mr. Hendel is correct in that. That would be a new map. That would be proposal 2D.
Okay.
And are we considering the amended version of 2A versus or and 2C? I think you just said we're not considering 2C. But I think
apologies. So it's to my understanding that we've got both proposals, but then on proposal A, we're including the recommendation that we split 45 in half. So then both maps have 45 splitting in half.
But that would make it a third map.
So then I'm okay with moving forward with a map 2D. I guess I was just explaining that in the context that helped me understand, and hopefully others. I guess.
Then we should generate a map 2D to obtain the correct MPD and everything else for that new configuration.
Okay.
That's a decent suggestion. Thank you. Because that would also, you're correct, change the MPD as well to.
At a glance, it looks like MPD would actually go down, right? Because you're adding a little bit to Ward 1, which is slightly too small, and removing a little bit from Ward 6, which is a little bit too big. So I think this will bring the MPD down even more beyond. It's already pretty low, but this would bring it down even more, I believe. And just to make my stance known, I prefer 2C, but we already voted on that and it failed, so therefore I'm okay with my colleague's suggestion to consider 2C and 2D as our joint suggestions. So I would vote yes on that.
Would the motion then be that we forward to council and mayor three maps?
I think it's just two maps. We're killing 2A, right? And we're replacing it with 2D.
I haven't necessarily said that directly. But now we have two maps, and I guess folks who had issues with 2C were able to speak out tonight, so I'm assuming that we can say that there was room for public comment, ideally. How are my colleagues feeling?
We could give them all three.
So the first motion that failed was for only forwarding 2C. That failed.
Mm-hmm.
Then the new motion was to only forward 2A.
Yes.
And we didn't act on that. It wasn't moved.
A friendly amendment.
Then you amended that to say that we should forward to both of them, 2C, 2A and 2C.
Yes.
And then Mr. Crump suggested yet one more map, which is a map that it would be 2D that would include that split of 45.
But 2D would be identical to 2A, except it would include precinct 45.
No, 2A already has that. 2A has the split.
Okay, very good.
I may have misspoken earlier. Sorry, Mr. Aiken. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to say there has not been an opportunity for public comment for this new map that we sort of seem to be sneaking in here, 2D. I can't support adding a third map right now because just thinking from the outside in, the public's going to be like, hold on, you snuck this one in, especially anybody that might be impacted on this. So this is just a bad idea. And I'm just wondering, legally or logistically, if we just give mayor and council 2A and 2C, if we make this as a comment, they can make this administrative adjustment based on our recommendations. Because I think, as council said earlier, they don't have to do anything we said. They could make map 2F for all we know. But this one just hasn't been made available for public comment, so this is a bad idea.
That's a fair point, although it is just a combination of the two. So the public has had a chance to comment on the split of 45, and it doesn't seem like there's...
I cannot see where proposal number 2A makes any reference to precinct 04.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, I just want to make, you don't have to do it. I just think it helps the population shift to Ward 1 and perhaps helps its demographics.
Can we look at it? Can we look at what it would do? I can't see.
Oh, we have on the screen?
Showing on the monitor now, comes in with an MPD of 2.96%.
So the MPD is exactly the same down to the 100th place? That seems kind of unlikely.
And Ward 1's population goes up by roughly 1,000.
If it confuses things, let's not do it. But I'm just saying that we're prepared. Ward 6 is saying, hey, we got a request at the public hearing to move 45 out of Ward 6. And we're saying, yep, that works for us, except for that part of 45 that is still in Armory Park.
Chair Crum.
The rest would go to Ward 1.
And quite frankly, Chair Crum, this is a proposal that we'd be willing to support.
I'm fine with it too, although I'm just curious why the MPD is exactly the same. I'm wondering, is it still calculating, or is that just it's still calculating, okay. I mean, not that it really matters. It's probably going to go down, and even if it doesn't, it's very, very low anyway. So I guess we could recommend all three of these maps, 2A, C, and D, or we could just do any two of those. I don't know, up to my colleague who made the motion.
Well, I'll start all over again. I would like to make a motion that this committee moves forward with maps 2A, 2C, and 2D.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Any further discussion?
This is John Aiken again. Hold on. I'm just reiterating my objection to adding a third map without public conversation. I realize that very circuitously 2D was discussed, sort of, in public meetings, vis-a-vis conversations about 2A, but 2D explicitly was not put forth as an option to the public, so I will be voting no.
That's a fair point. I could kind of go either way, because I definitely see that point. On the other hand, it's just a combination of two maps that we've already been looking at, and we know what the comments would be. So I'm going to vote yes, but I definitely respect.
Yeah, is there a second?
She seconded already.
Got it. Thank you.
I'm not officially voting. I'm just stating my support despite the reasonable points made by my colleague.
I would just like to thank this committee. It seemed, you know, after some very intense discussions, we were able to reach some sort of compromise. And I believe compromise is good and healthy for our democracy. I do want to reiterate the comments that I've been saying throughout this whole process, and that is that we need to start thinking boldly. We need to start thinking about beginning the steps to initiate the creation of a third minority-majority ward and adding two more wards, ideally towards the end of this decade. And I think we're taking baby steps, but with one of the maps proposals, or two, I would say, 2A and 2D, I believe we're taking those baby steps. Emphasis on baby steps, but I am grateful to this committee and the compromise we're able to reach. Thank you.
And I, too, would like to add that my appreciation, particularly in this committee wanting to clean up the process, because I once had a boss who said, the devil's not in the details, the devil's in the process. And if you really want to understand anything and improve things, you look at the process. And I really like moving in that direction and moving ahead with enough time that people will be able to examine the process and improve it where necessary.
Members of the commission, I believe that the work we did was the work that we could do, given the circumstances. But I do believe that unless this process is significantly revised with some transparency and some honesty about the issues at hand, this redistricting process is doomed to fail again and again and again, given what we heard. I heard some pretty surprising and concerning things where people were conflating and equating their neighborhood attachments to higher principles that were actually contradicting the higher order of equality and voting power for marginalized populations only in response to a particular precinct being attached to a particular geography and an artificial ward line. Those things baffle me. They concern me because it demonstrated an incredible lack of understanding of the higher principle at work, not necessarily the geographic limitations of the map. I believe those things will have to be discussed with great intensity and deliberate an intention to get somewhere that this commission process did not allow. I also believe that a certain attitude prevailed during our deliberations of a populist orientation that if enough people show for this or that, that's not necessarily how a democracy works, necessarily by people insisting on only one single interest at the expense of a greater interest and a mandate, especially in the hierarchy that we have outlined, which I 100% agree needs to be clarified. Otherwise, you never get anywhere. If all of the points are equal, then there was no possible path forward. All of that to say, the maps that we're sending, the work that we did was the less ideal situation in every single instance.
And understanding, because I've been there before, that you could possibly say that of every former committee that operated under the same rules, conditions, and limitations. So it's just not us. It finally caught up with us. And now we're saying, wait, enough is enough. Let's try to get it right the next time. So you're right. The next commission or committee doesn't have to go through what we went through. It was just our bad timing to get involved with certain issues. All right.
Chairman Crum.
Yes, sir.
My feeling on this is, you know, we make the final decision, but I feel that the community also has to have a voice in the what we decide, and their input to be valued. You know, I've been to a lot of other public hearings, and the people that speak there are not taken for value. I think that's wrong.
Right.
Thank you.
And that's why it was mentioned earlier that when this does go, if the mayor and council say, yes, we need to appoint an ad hoc committee or another commission or whatever it may be, that can contain a public participation component that goes beyond just public hearings, perhaps, but other ways of accomplishing that. So if I may, is moving on to item 6.
We need to vote on the motion, Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
I thought we had. Okay. So I'd like a roll call. Division.
This is on the motion to forward maps 2A, 2B, and 2C to Mayor and Council for their consideration. Mr. Aitken.
Sorry, just to clarify, you mean 2A, 2C, and 2D.
I'm sorry, 2A, 2C, and 2D. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Aitken?
No.
Dr. Alvarez?
Yes.
Mr. Crum?
Yes.
Ms. Darland?
Yes.
Mr. Hendel?
Yes.
Mr. Amio? Mr. Robles?
Yes.
Motion carries 6-1.
Mr. Chair, just for clarification, I don't recall that we approved the minutes. Did we approve the minutes? I don't mean to be a nudge. Okay.
Oh, you're correct. Thank you so very much. Returning to item number 2, approval of the minutes from November 17th, 2022. All in favor of the minutes, assent?
Aye.
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 Unanimous. Thank you.
And
thank
one more.
You get an A+ for the night.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I follow the agenda. My last question is with respect to the tentative meeting. Is there a twofold? Do we need to do anything with respect to not having that meeting? And then the second question is the only other piece of consideration, you know, procedurally, if there are any other, I know that we had a pretty big motion, and I don't want to belabor any more topics, but there were other things that may percolate between now and the final draft that we can send forward for staff's consideration. I don't want it, but I also don't want to do it outside of the council of my colleagues here.
You get another A+. That's item number 6.
Oh, what did I do?
Next steps.
Okay.
So I'll move that we cancel tomorrow's meeting.
I second.
Housekeeping items as far as getting the recommendation to you. What I have is that we will add the information on the motion on rough proportionality or just double check that motion from November 17th and finish the end of that meeting and what proposals were forwarded to tonight. For part 3 of the recommendation, the final recommendation to Mayor and Council that will contain tonight's motion. We can draft this. I'm a little concerned that it needs more review than just us sending it to you. If you cancel tomorrow's meeting, we will do our best, but there can't be back and forth. It'll be a violation of the open meeting law. So
it's...
If there's back and forth, it's each individual peer and the city clerk.
But it changes your final recommendation, which is your official action.
And with that, I'd like to move that we keep tomorrow's meeting and Madam Clerk buys us all pizza. I'm just kidding. I'll keep that item out, but... But I believe we have to keep tomorrow's meeting, just making sure that we get everything that we'd like on this proposal.
That would be so that we can review it, and it could be a short meeting if we are all in agreement, or a long meeting if we have to tweak it.
Exactly.
But we have to be together.
Yeah. If you're changing the recommendation, which is your official action, then
so
there needs to be a final vote
with the open meeting law because it's been announced.
So what possible changes might need to be made at tomorrow's meeting? Like, just some hypothetical examples would be helpful.
Well, besides just rough proportionality, there are several other mayor and council policy items that need to be defined, not just rough proportionality, for example. I think those were mentioned, weren't they?
They were. I just want you to have the opportunity to review the final draft because it can't go to mayor and council if you don't approve it, and it can't be approved outside of a meeting.
Okay.
And I would prefer to meet tomorrow because I'm single and I don't have a life and I'm old. So, no, in all honesty, I agree. If there's any tweaking that needs to be done without tomorrow's meeting, that's going to be really difficult. And then most of us is going to sign it as well.
And we'll do the best we can. So they're the minimal tweaking just to get through pizza and then.
But so that's fine. That makes perfect sense. But just to get a better sense, what are some tweaks that might need to be made? Like what are we putting in the letter that might have disagreements or confusion?
It could be that you don't like how we worded something or the way we said it. Maybe it's not what you intended it to be. That's the kind of thing I think Suzanne is talking about. We just want to make sure that it is correct and it is exactly what you want to present to mayor and council.
Okay, thank you. And what time, roughly speaking, will we receive a draft prior to the meeting?
Well, we have a lot of work to do on that draft, so okay. It won't be before noon, and I would assume it will probably be pretty late in the afternoon if we can get it to you at all before the meeting.
Okay, thank you.
So we know it'll be to us at 5:30.
Yes.
So,
all right, motion withdrawn.
All in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
Aye.
Right. Aye. Thank you.